Welcome to another edition of In Focus. I'm Bob Perot. Very pleased to have with me Sean Webster, who is the head of government and stakeholder relations for Canopy Growth, of course, based in Smiths Falls. Mr. Webster, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Bob. I really appreciate the opportunity to join you.
May I call you Sean over the course of the interview?
Well, yeah, I hope so.
Okay, good.
I'm not a Mr. Webster type of guy, so yeah, Sean is appropriate.
All right, no problem.
I've been called a lot worse. Trust me.
I can relate. We wanted to talk to you about a number of different things. You know, every now and then we're very happy to have the people from Canopy on, our neighbors, here to talk about what's going on with the organization. There was an article that came out not too long ago that said that Canopy and some other producers across Canada are hoping to get some regulations changed within the federal government. That would then, I believe the word they used was vastly improve the situation for all marijuana producers, cannabis producers across Canada. So we wanted to get your comments on that. I guess first and foremost, maybe tell us a little bit about what you'd like to see when it comes to the regulations and what may be holding you back, if that's the way you'd put it.
Right. Okay. So yeah, that's very timely and very apt because when cannabis was legalized for adult, what we some people refer to as adult use, some people refer to recreational use, but when cannabis was legalized, the federal government agreed in 2018 that they would review the legislation enabling the legalization within 3 years of the passing of the bill. So Bill C-45, which enabled legalization, was passed in October of 2018, which meant that they would have had to, under the statutes of the legislation, instituted what they call a legislative review of the act by October of 2021. But because of the election in the fall of 2021, the government deferred the initiation of the review until last month, actually, when they announced that they would be undertaking the review. And announced that it would be undertaken by an expert panel. The government announced that the head of the expert panel would be a man named Morris Rosenberg, who's highly respected in Ottawa circles. He's a former senior civil servant. He was the deputy minister or head of major government departments, including Health Canada, which is our regulator, Justice Canada, which has a significant role in cannabis legalization as well. And he also spent a considerable amount of time at the Department of Foreign Affairs. So Mr. Rosenberg is going to be chairing this expert panel, which is going to be reviewing the regulations. The government is going to be announcing four other panelists who will join him on that review panel. They have not announced those yet. We're anticipating that that could be any time in the next week to 2 weeks. But for now, the first step of this is that the government has called on interested stakeholders to come forward with an idea of what they would like to see in terms of making sure that the cannabis legalization continues forward successfully in Canada. It's kind of a social model that no other large industrialized country had entered into. And now, as we know, there's lots of other countries in the world who are looking to Canada to see what we've done with cannabis legalization and how they might follow suit. So the United States, as you may have seen in some recent news published, some news coverage, is moving closer in that direction federally. We were fortunate enough in September to welcome a large group of members of parliament from the German Bundestag to tour our facility in Smiths Falls to learn about cannabis legalization from a licensed cannabis producer's perspective. So we spent a couple of hours. We're very, very, very proud of the facility and our team in Smiths Falls. So we were more than happy to show them off to the Germans.
Now, it's no secret that, you know, the company hasn't been profitable as of yet. We know that there was several changes that have been made over the course of the past few years since Mr. Klein has been in his position. And I guess the big question that people ask when they hear that Canopy and other producers are looking for changes and so on is, whether or not this company is in trouble because of what we've seen over the past few years. So how do you answer that? And again, sort of what would you like to see changed in those federal regulations to help right. move towards profitability?
Right. So the environment in which we're operating is frankly is not conducive to sustainable long-term business. So we need to see some change. We need to see some change in the way that the entire framework on which we're operating for taxation and excise duty and markups and fees is constructed. So, I mean, every government along the value chain right across the country takes a nice chunk of funding from our sales. So whether it's the federal government, which takes a chunk of funding from us in the form of excise duties. So excise duties are duties that are imposed on goods like cannabis, alcohol, tobacco, for example, all have excise duties. So there's an excise duty framework under which we operate, where the provinces and the federal government take a chunk of money. Then whenever anybody buys some of our product, there's HST is added to that as well, which goes into government coffers. Then when we sell our product to the provinces, because the way the system works is we don't sell directly to retailers, we have to sell to provincial boards. So in Ontario, it's called the Ontario Cannabis Stores. It's the equivalent to the LCBO for cannabis. We sell to them. They take what they take, what they call a markup off of that as well. So that goes back into the provincial coffers. So when you add all those things up, it significantly adds to the price of the product that the consumer is paying for in the end. The effect of that is the illicit sector, against whom we're still competing because there's still a significant portion of the cannabis market is supplied by illicit sources or people who are not organizations that are not regulated by either the federal government or the province.
Also called the black market out there. Yeah.
Could call it the black market.
Yeah.
You know, there's still an operation. Estimates anywhere between 40 to 50% of total cannabis sales in Canada are still within that illicit market. They don't have to pay any of those fees, taxes, anything like that, any markups. So they can sell product at a very competitive price to us. And that puts us, frankly, on our back feet. So we're looking for the federal government and the provinces, frankly, to adjust that duty framework and that tax framework and the fees that we pay to allow us to compete more effectively with the illicit market. Then there's other parts of the regulation that impact us as well in terms of, for example, what products we're able to make. When it comes to the so-called cannabis 2.0 products, so things like edibles, we're limited, or beverages, which we have a big investment in beverages in Smiths Falls. As you may know, we have a beverage facility there. We're very proud of that facility. We are capped at potency levels of 10 milligrams of THC per unit. And we know from seeing, you know, products in the market that the illicit market doesn't have those caps. And so people who want products that have more than 10 milligrams of THC can obtain those in the illicit market. They can't get those from us. So we're saying to the federal government, why should we be capped? Canadian consumers, Canadian cannabis consumers have proven themselves over the time length of legalization that they are mature, responsible consumers of cannabis products, and they should be treated like adults and not treated, and not regulated so quickly in their choice of product.
And I just want to mention too, I think it's very important to say that this isn't just the cannabis industry. This is all industry across Canada that will go and ask for these reviews and ask for changes, whether it be a food producer, mm-hmm. a fuel yeah. provider, or whatever. Oh, yeah. So I don't want anyone listening to this to think, well, this is just the cannabis industry saying we need this and we need this. No, this is what happens with federally regulated industry.
Right. And, you know, especially this is our first opportunity to request the federal government. Now it's specifically the federal government. Well, we're taking it broader. We're dialoguing with all the provinces too, which is why, you know, I spend a fair amount of time at Queen's Park talking to the Ontario government around the situation. And I spend a lot of time at provincial capitals right across the country on the same issues. So, you know, I mean, this is something that we're focusing on. We're very fortunate in the cannabis sector that we've formed a very good industry association. So it's called the Cannabis Council of Canada. It's us and all of the other major licensed cannabis producers across the country. We were fortunate enough to be able to recruit George Smitherman, who's the former Minister of Health and Deputy Premier of the province of Ontario, to serve as our CEO and Executive Director. So George is a very strong voice and well-known in government circles right across the country. So, you know, we work very closely together when it comes to these non-competitive policy issues.
It's all evolution. It's what it is, if I'm not mistaken, sir. And this is what happens. Nobody gets everything completely 100% right out of the gate. And I'm talking about, you know, the industry itself and
right.
the federal regulations. That's why you need right. to have these conversations. You need to see what's working and what isn't and how you can make these changes.
No, I think you're 100%. Like I said, Canada was the first major industrialized country to move down this path. And frankly, it was the right thing to do. Knowing what we know about the products that we produce, there's no reason for legal resources to be spent on enforcing laws that really had no basis in fact, right? So we've moved forward. We've moved beyond that. You know, Uruguay did move slightly ahead of Canada in that respect, but you know, there's a big difference between a country like Canada, which is in the G7, and a country like Uruguay. Now, I mentioned Uruguay interestingly because back in the spring, we had a delegation from the Uruguayan government. Their cannabis, the head of their cannabis department, actually came to Smiths Falls to tour us because he'd heard a lot about what our facility was like and the products that we were making, and was very curious to see if there was lessons to be learned that could be taken back to Uruguay. So again, it all pivots back to Smiths Falls. You know, we've got lots of people from all over the world very curious about what's happening in Smiths Falls, because it really is an international center of excellence.
Fantastic. So maybe I'll just ask you to take a little bit of a look down the road in our final moments here, sir.
Sure.
I, you know, take a look at it. Let's look at, you know, both sides of the pancake here. What happens if these regulations aren't changed, and what happens if they do?
Well, I mean, you know, first of all, the review is not going to happen overnight. So the review, the panel that Mr. Rosenberg is chairing has 18 months to complete their work. They'll report back to Parliament, and then Parliament will probably, through the Standing Committee on Health, will examine the report and give some recommendations to Health Canada, and then Health Canada and whomever at the government, the minister is, Prime Minister's office, whomever it is at that time, will have to agree or not agree on the recommendations moving forward. We're pretty happy with the way the panels has been established, because when we first initiated, we've been dialoguing, obviously, with the government around this, and the industry made it very clear that we wanted the review to be undertaken by an independent expert panel, which they've agreed to, and that we wanted the review to be broader in scope than just looking at the Cannabis Act itself. We wanted them to look at the economic factors that were impacting the ability of the sector to compete against the illicit market, which they also agreed to. So far, so good. They've given us an independent expert panel, and they've agreed to a broader mandate for the review, which we think is very positive. We've also gotten some very good signals coming from senior members of the government that when the sector comes forward with issues that they need to see change on, quickly, that the government would be willing to look and see how they could affect those changes while the review itself was moving forward. So, you know, that was also some strong messaging. So I think the bottom line is the government has heard us in terms of, you know, we do need to see some change if we want to maintain the viability of the sector to compete against the illicit market. And they're listening to us. And, you know, the other thing that I'm going to throw out here today is just to talk about the local support that we've had right across Lanark County and right across Eastern Ontario. So Scott Reed, who's our member of Parliament, is the co-chair of the Parliamentary Cannabis Caucus. He's the conservative member of that. It's a multi-party group. So he works very closely with liberal members of the caucus and New Democrat members of the caucus. And there's even some Bloc people who've joined as well, Bloc members who've joined. And Scott is really a leader in terms of advocating on behalf of not just Canopy, but the entire sector to government officials. And we're very lucky. Scott is one of those members of parliament who can quite easily, because of his seniority in the House of Commons, has deep relationships right across the House and can walk across the aisle and have good conversations with government members and cabinet ministers. We also have very strong support from the town, of course, with Mayor Panko and his entire council. I'm looking forward to meeting and working with the new members of council that I haven't worked with yet. And also John Jordan, our new member of provincial parliament, has engaged with us early on. And, you know, John's a great resource and voice for us when it comes to issues that we're dealing with at Queen's Park as well. And the same, frankly, goes to our federal member of parliament for our facility in Kincardine and in Mirabel and provincial representatives in those jurisdictions as well. But especially here in Leonard County, we're very pleased that with the level and support of local leadership that we've been able to garner when we enter into dialogue with other parts of government.
Now, we haven't got time to delve into this deeply at all, but I just want to make sure that people know, too, that this isn't just like the only thing that Canopy is doing to try to improve
their fortunes as things move on.
This is one piece of the pie. We've seen so many other things, purchases in the States in recent weeks and so on. This is, it's not like the company, and this is, I've heard this many times, it's not like the company is hinging on this changing. This is one part. You still think that this is a viable company moving forward, and it's not leaving Smiths Falls.
Oh, absolutely. No. And absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, what you said is bang on. You know, we needed to make adjustments to the business to reflect the environment in which the business was operating. And sometimes those choices are tough. People make them in their own household purchasing decisions every day, whether they can afford to do this or whether they can afford to keep that. We had to go through the same thing. And like you said earlier, this has been an evolving environment in which we're operating. Things have changed rapidly over the past 3 years. No other country had gone into this. So we were pioneering. And that's kind of what I really enjoy about working for Canopy and working in this sector is that, you know, there's very few sectors where you can do what I get to do every day, which is basically break new ground. We're just not out there talking about the same olds that we've been talking about for years. We're actually out there talking about brand new stuff, which is sometimes why it takes a little bit longer than we would like it to, frankly, because we have to change a lot of perceptions out there. There's still, unfortunately, even 3 years, 4 years now past legalization, there's still some stigma around cannabis. We're seeing it's loosening because, frankly, since legalization, the sky didn't fall, right? Cannabis consumers have proven themselves to be mature, responsible people. And, you know, the world hasn't fallen apart as a result of consumer cannabis legalization. As a matter of fact, we've seen massive investments in jobs right across the country. So, you know, all in all, it's been a good thing. And as I've said, we're the envy of the world when it comes to this kind of stuff. They're coming here to look at us, to learn from us, and to figure out how to do it. Everybody wants to do it like Canada's done it, but they want to do it better than Canada's done it. So we're helping them with those lessons learned.
Excellent. Well, I wish we had more time. I'm sure I could talk to you for another hour, sir, but we're just out of time here now. So,
Excellent.
Sean, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us and as well for your honesty in your answers and we really appreciate it. I know our listeners do as well, and I'm pretty sure that this won't be our last conversation.
Bob, anytime you want to call, happy to talk.
Our guest today on In Focus, Sean Webster, head of government and stakeholder relations for Canopy Growth. We've been talking about many things to do with the Smiths Falls based company. I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.